What's going on, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Complex in Hip Hop Circles, and you are listening to the Escape Artist Podcast at PlexHop.com. Yeah, how you doing? It's been an interesting week, I guess. A lot of stuff sort of going on. Let's see. Actually, what's kind of weird about this week is I had opportunities to record a podcast throughout the week a couple times here and there, and I've been kind of having a hard time figuring out what I want to talk about. Spent a decent amount of time being discouraged just about the whole art thing and just personal stuff going on in my life with, struggles and stuff. You know, I don't want to get into too much detail, but I think we all have certain struggles and stuff that sometimes can bring us down, obviously, and, you know, so that's been something kind of affecting my optimism and enthusiasm to work on this art stuff. I've also been doing a lot of more, like, I guess what would be called administrative type of things, like, just tooling around on the website, trying to do some things, and I guess I've probably wasted a decent amount of time on social media. I shouldn't say wasted, because it's not. I mean, it's usually, you know, focused towards, you know, the art and the music and all that. Trying to get things going. But, kind of been doing that. And, yeah, I don't know. It's been a little not so feeling as optimistic as I have recently. I am happy about the last podcast we did with the convention coverage and talking to Will McKenzie. So that was really cool. That was a fun one. It was cool to do a podcast where, first of all, that was my first interview, I think, on the Escape Artist Podcast, I think. I've done interviews before, like when I first started this podcast, I might have done some, but I don't think I did. But on my other podcast that I used to do, and I'm hoping to revamp at some point, the Culture Craft Podcast, it's a hip-hop podcast, kind of was trying to take a art and story take on the hip-hop stuff, you know, getting into the craft and all that. On that one, I did do interviews, and stuff, and talk to people, which I'm hoping to get into, with this podcast as well, more. So it was cool to do my first interview, this coming week, which, when you hear this, it'll be during that week, but, when you hear this, I'll be on vacation. Only got a few more hours left here. And I will be having a week off. So that's cool. I kind of just took a random week off. I have time, so, you know, I'm like, I really have only taken like one or two random days off this year so far, and we're getting into the ninth month of the year, September, so figure let's start taking some time off. I have 3 weeks worth. I might as well, you know, I'm kind of getting worn down. I can tell, like, at work, I'm just like, trudging through, and, you know, sometimes you can tell when it's like, it's time to take a break, you know? So it's going to be good to have this week off. And, of course, during the week, I have all kinds of plans. Oh, I want to get all this work done with the music and the art, and, you know, I don't take your traditional vacation where you go to Disney World or something, as you probably can guess I don't have much money for that kind of stuff. Which is fine. I don't care. I'd rather be in my studio working than going to Disney World anyways. Not that that's the only place I could go, but there's a lot of places I'd love to travel and I think would be awesome. And I hope to someday. Man, I'd love to see the Sistine Chapel. I've always wanted to see that. Michelangelo. That's been a dream of mine for my whole life. To see that in person, up close. I always thought that was one of the coolest things in art history. Really super awesome. Let's see. So yeah, a little bit of a struggle. Again, as I always say, I'm not looking for a pity party, just documenting it, you know? Something we all go through, I think, often. Especially if we're trying to make money or make a living off of this art stuff. It's not an easy path. I've seen very few people actually have a very easy time with it. A lot of us, even if we achieve success, are still putting more money into it than we're getting out of it. Financial success. Of course, there's a lot other success, you know. I think what's important is to define what we mean by success and stuff. And money is not obviously the only measure of that. But it is a measure that is something I would like to increase. Really just for living and being able to have the money just to take care of things, like, you know, if I could just a lot more easily get my car fixed or something, or a lot more easily just pay the bills, really, that would be nice. I don't want riches. Like, if I ever get to the point where I'm making, like, crazy money, I'll probably give a lot of it away. Because, honestly, I don't even want, like, I always want to have the relationship with money where it comes in and it goes out, and I'm not hoarding it. I'm not, like, I don't have such a tight grip on it that, that it kind of dictates actions and things like that. I think that's when you get into trouble with money. It's a tool to be used. It shouldn't define you, that's for sure. And even the lack of money sometimes defines people. People get bitter and things, and I'm sure it does affect all of us to a certain degree. Even if we try to remain pure with it, I guess. So yeah. This episode will... I have a lot of topics that I want to talk about, but I feel a little bit ill-prepared to cover some of these things. It's weird because I come at this with a desire to create community and kind of make it more of a discussion than being like a teacher or a guru or whatever. But at the same time, I don't want to make a podcast that you know, you guys are like, oh, you know, I like this guy, so, you know, I want to support him, so I'm going to try to listen to his podcast, but maybe I don't get to it because it's really not benefiting me or something, you know. I want there to be some takeaways, you know. I guess, you know, from the response I've gotten, you know, people are actually looking forward to it and stuff, so. And I do try to have some takeaways, you know, but I'm not, you know, the teacher telling you guys what to do. A lot of you guys know a lot more about this art stuff than I do and are better at it than I am. And I'm 100% cool with that because to me, art is discovery, art is learning, art is enjoyment. learning, you know, that's what art is to me. I'm not, to me, it's not a platform to wield, you know, or a weapon to wield on a platform that's higher than everybody else. It's never been that for me. So at the same time, we do have some leverage, I think that's kind of cool, us artists, and I should say creative people. You know, we really have kind of some leverage and something unique that other people might not have, you know. This creativity that we have, you know, this kind of mindset, whatever it is that causes us to want to make art and things, it's just this, I think it's a tendency to, like, just want to look at things differently. Like, I don't know about you, but with me, a lot of times, you know, we get caught up in trying to reinvent the wheel, probably more than other people do. Because in trying to be original, and I think we all have a healthy dose of knowledge that there is no real original thought, and there we shouldn't be trying to reinvent the wheel, but at the same time, I think we're just kind of wired to try to do that. So, excuse me, like when a, some kind of, task comes up, you know, we want to create something that's interesting and fresh, and we want to put a new twist on it, and we want to play with it, you know, we want to manipulate it, and I don't mean it in a bad sense, but obviously anything, if we're crafting anything, we're manipulating it. That's a manipulation, you know, obviously. We want to craft it into something cool and different and new, and it's just the nature, I think, of the artist mindset. And that's a very valuable, extremely valuable asset within most industries, that many times lacks. A lot of people, you know, I was listening to the Illustration Underground podcast at illustrationunderground.com with Kevin Cross and Mark Rudolph. They just put out a new episode. Definitely go check that out. It's one of my favorite podcasts. And he was talking, I can't remember which one, I think it was Kevin, was talking about some of the jobs you can get. And it's funny because the people who pay the best money sometimes have the worst ideas as far as illustration work goes. And he just briefly mentioned that, you know, it's a different mindset, that business entrepreneurial mindset, you know, is more focused on the money and how to kind of be creative and learn and figure out how to work things in the right way where the money starts flowing your way and stuff like that, even if your product isn't necessarily as aesthetically pleasing or appealing. If you have a good business sense and some kind of simple design or something like that, you can go a long way in business, you know. But obviously aesthetics and a visual appeal that is really awesome can certainly boost that effectiveness. But in all honesty, you could have things look really bad, crappy and stuff, and still make a lot of money. So kind of cuts the illustrator's value down a little bit, you know. That's why rates, like Kevin was saying, rates just keep going down and down with illustration work. You know, artists are kind of a dime a dozen. Unfortunately, there's a lot of us out there. A lot of us who can do some really good work too. I'm probably on mid to lower spectrum of that at this point. I'd like to get more professional with my stuff, but you know, it's it's crazy. It's a craft that's honed throughout years and years and years. So, as you all know. So, anyways, yeah. It's tough. One thing I've been thinking about is we had a Google Hangout session hosted by Ryan Wheaton recently this week, and it was really cool. A lot of people got up on there talking. Michael Vlad. I'm trying to think of all the people. Nathan Seabolt. It was awesome to finally kind of meet him in a way where I'm actually talking to him and seeing him visually. That was really cool. Who else? Javier Hernandez popped on there for a little bit. It was kind of funny. It was a fun session because you might have seen the image I put up. I did a little, like, really bad fan art for all the people who were there, or most of the people who were there. Oh, George Ward was there as well. And the reason why it was crappy was because they were kind of coaxing me. And we brought up the idea of, like, using a Wacom tablet and stuff, and we just kept talking about it a little bit here and there, and I was like, All right. You guys push me to it. I'm going to grab my Wacom tablet, which is always sitting right there, like, on my computer desk. So, like, it's ridiculous that the last time I used it was probably, like, 6, 7, 8 months ago. but it's always sitting there, ready to use, plugged in. So I started messing with the Wacom tablet. I'm like, yeah, this thing sucks. I don't know how to freaking do this and make it look cool. And they're like, you just gotta try. You gotta keep working at it, blah, blah, blah. So I did, and I made a really crappy drawing. But people seem to like it, or at least be entertained by it. And, you know, and then afterwards, I started just doodling with it, for a little bit before we hung up, and I did actually start to feel a little more comfortable with a different approach. It's weird, like, you know, when I was trying to do the fan art thing, you know, I was trying to put the lines in the right spot and make something that looked like something, and then when I was doodling with it, I could kind of form some things, and with the trying to make a specific image, I was having a hard time, but with doodling it, you know, just freestyle kind of, you know, I was able to kind of get the forms going, and I don't know, it was a little more fun, a little bit, I think I was getting a little bit more accurate with the lines. I think it's just, maybe I'll have to just do that for a little while, and, because I think it's about getting the feel of it. So once you get the feel of it, then maybe you can start putting lines where you mean to, but you'll know how it reacts with your hand and that feel and your eye coordination and all that, so you can better, more accurately put those lines down where you mean to. Also, you know, messing with settings, brush sizes and all that probably is something I need to explore with, so, you know, maybe I'll play around with it. The problem with using the Wacom, the other problem is, I don't often have time to just take a lot of time and sit in front of the computer. And when I do, I tend to check my email and go on social networks and try to, you know, be part of the community. So I don't usually have a ton of time or work on my website. So, but I guess what I was getting to was, you know, I don't know, I was listening to this podcast today. It's called Click Millionaire. It's, you know, sounds probably super cheesy. But, you know, like I said, I tune into some of these business and marketing podcasts, even some of the ones that are, like, sound like kind of scammy, like, you know, whatever. So, but this one's a pretty good one. You know, I don't want to become a millionaire, really, but necessarily. But, you know, this is talking about, you know, things about getting, making some money online and stuff. So, this guy interviews people who basically have had success online. So, this one guy is a YouTube guy, rcpower.com. This place, it's a website that just talks about the hobby of RC planes. And, you know, this guy, he just had the hobby and he didn't like his job or whatever. And so he started getting into making some, actually just trying to sell, like, kits for RC planes and stuff and online. And then he started making videos and stuff. And then eventually he got into putting the videos on YouTube and started to find a lot of success with that. And, you know, it was interesting, you know, the stuff that he went through and figured out. And he started a while ago, so it was when YouTube was pretty young. And so, you know, now he's making a lot of money with YouTube ads and with selling digital, I think, like, how-to things with the RC planes. So it was cool to hear his stuff. One thing that, though, I was thinking about, because from that and some other things, is he was talking about, like, he started to, like, work hard on, like, trying to make the production value of the videos really nice and stuff for a little while. And, you know, he was getting some views and all that and stuff, but things were actually getting a little less in views when he started, like, really making the production value a little better and with the videos. So what he actually did was he went back to kind of doing it a little less, you know, polished, I guess. And he had better success. And he said, you know, and I've heard this before, especially with YouTube, is having, like, awesome, amazing quality on YouTube actually can sometimes deter you and make people want to watch a little less, like, because the thing that's kind of appealing is it's different than TV. It's, you're not, you know, you don't feel like you're being advertised to. You don't feel like you're getting that, you know, that agenda, that really, like, heavy-handed, polished marketing and stuff like that. So he was saying, you know, that sometimes with the internet stuff, it actually builds trust if you're kind of more real with it and less polished. So I thought that was interesting, and it just reminded me of something I've been thinking about a lot, especially because, and I think I've talked about this in one of the podcasts before, or I was talking about it in Google Hangouts too, and I was talking to Ryan Wheaton about his stuff, and, you know, how he doesn't really, like, try to put out, like, this crazy website with all these, like, pretty buttons and stuff and, you know, make it look all fancy or anything. He just says, hey, you know, I made some things, you know, if you're interested in grabbing some, email me, you know. And, you know, people do respond to that, you know. Also, another thing I think that he does that helps is he puts out art every day, at least once, it seems like, from what I see. And a lot of times, it's multiple times he puts out sketches and whatever he's working on. It's really cool, you know. Keeping that top of mind visibility, I guess. It's very important, you know, and that repetitiveness. So, and I try to do that a lot, but I get distracted with other things, and it's kind of sucks because the last, you know, it seemed like I was making art every day, even doing a little extra stuff when I was making the comic. I made some stickers. Well, now the comic's over, I can breathe. I have a little more time to maybe work on something different. And I haven't really drawn or put out art too much at all in like about a span of a week and a half to 2 weeks. And it's like, you know, when I was busy and I didn't have time to do stuff, I actually did extra stuff with art. It's so weird how that happens. And now I have extra time and I find myself not knowing what I want to do next. So, and then I was talking about that on the Google Hangouts as well. It's like, okay, what's my next project going to be? And it's like I have a few different things I could do. And it seems like I never put out a comic unless there's a challenge. And then I wait till the last minute. So, you know, I just need to pick something and learn how to be more motivated to accomplish things on my own than without having it have to be dictated by some kind of challenge outside of myself. And, you know, people talk about creating plans and creating goals and creating your own artificial deadlines. So I think I need to start exploring that. I have a hard time believing that I'll keep myself to it though. Like with these deadlines, thinking probably what I should do is just try to knock out, you know, 5 to 8 of these webcomics, the TED webcomics that I've been talking about, because they're kind of simple, kind of easy to do. And maybe put some kind of deadline on it. The other thing, too, something that's very much more doable is creating some art, more art for stickers and stuff. And then I just have a lot of other things I have to get done. Actually, last night I accomplished one of them, which is cool. I finally read and put a review on my website for Pandia by Paul Kijiji, which is a really cool comic. I really recommend you guys check out his stuff, especially Pandia. It's a really like fast-paced like adventure story, kind of. It's kind of like almost like mixing like Indiana Jones and Star Wars, because it is kind of a future-based thing, but it's got that Indiana Jones feel with them kind of going through this temple and stuff. And it's a really cool thing, like a mixed genre of sci-fi and, you know, just like adventure. But anyways, all I know is that when I read it, I enjoy it immensely. The storytelling is really well done. And the production value is great. It's really awesome. So definitely go to plexhop.com right now. It's the top blog. At least when I'm talking about this, I'm going to probably be hopefully super productive next week. So I might have like 10 more blogs by then, but, I'll put a link in the show notes for the Pandia comic. Go check it out. Support, grab the printed versions from Indie Planet, or you can also get a digital version. He puts it up free online as well. Kind of webcomic style. I personally like to read the printed edition, so I went and grabbed the ones from Indie Planet, which I recommend. You know, it looks great, came out very awesome. Check it out. You won't regret it. I don't think you will. If you like comics, you'll enjoy it. Definitely. Get it. Support. He's an awesome guy. You know, it's you know, we've had different correspondence through the internet and through different things, and he's always been a really cool guy to me, and I'm glad to have him. He listens to the podcast as well, and it's really cool because I'm a fan of his podcast and his comics, and he's into my podcast. It's really cool. So, yeah. All right, so I guess that advertisement's over. But let's see. So, yeah, maybe a little less polish on some of this stuff. I don't know. And honestly, is it really worth putting in all the effort that I put in creating some of this, these website pages, when I almost get no purchases? I get one or two, like, every once in a while. I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe I just need to work harder at promoting it. So, yeah. Yeah. It's tough because I don't really do it for the money, so... But I do, but I want to make money, too. You know, it's like that conflicting desires. And I'm thinking even lately that, you know, maybe I should look into getting a job doing graphic design or something, or, you know, a traditional job, or, I just kind of heard a little bit about that Elance.com site, which there's not really, I don't think there's a lot of stuff like with illustration, but maybe if I can learn some new skills. A lot of the stuff is technical skills there, and like, some graphic design, I think, but if you can do like coding and stuff and combine that, or do website design type of stuff, I think you can start to make some money with that. And you know, it'd be nice to get some kind of freelance work through that, and try to maybe make some money independent of the art hobby. And just let the hobby be a hobby instead of forcing it to be a business model at this point, because honestly, my monetary needs are probably, it's way more immediate than I think this hobby turning into a business model is gonna do. And you know, I want my art to be something I love and enjoy doing, and I don't want it to be forced to the point where I don't love and enjoy it. At the same time, I'm not afraid of working hard at it and, you know, really producing a lot. I'm cool with that too. Like, I'm still loving it when I do that, but I could see the potential for, you know, it becoming a burden, because I just have way too much on my plate, and, you know, so, and not, you know, getting any personal work done, personal projects done. So, you know, I think it's okay to leave it in hobby land, even forever. It's been that way for so far, and I've enjoyed it, but, so, yeah, we'll see. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't want to kind of belabor you guys with a long podcast when I'm kind of in this mode of figuring things out and don't have a clear topic. So, you know, we can kind of let this one finish, and you know, like I said, I got the week off. I'm looking forward to having some time to get into some music. I have some collaborations that, you know, have been on the back burner for a long time, and I'm going to try to get to those, finish those up. I'm hoping to get my collaboration stuff done in one day, so I can focus. I have another art project I'm working on, an illustration work for somebody, which I didn't do on spec, but I did do for a trade. That's actually kind of a little bit of an interesting topic. I've had a lot of hard time getting people to help me out with my music, But, you know, I do have that leverage of being able to do art that a lot of people don't, who are doing the music, don't have. So I'm actually, I mean, I'm doing more, I would rather do the art for money. So, you know, I'm putting that out there first. But if the people are saying, you know, I can't afford that right now, you know, for certain people, if they have something that, you know, is worthwhile for a trade that's kind of equal to the value of what album artwork is to me to do, then I am certainly willing to do some trades. And in fact, I might even pursue some people specifically to get some trades for collaborations, and for beats and for publicity and things like that. So right now I'm doing an illustration for a trade, and I think I'm definitely getting a decent trade for it and a worthwhile trade. So I'm happy to do it. Plus the project is really cool, and I think I'm going to have fun with it. And it's not restrictive. Like, I've done two projects for this guy before, and you know, he just basically gives me 100% creative control. So, like, I don't even necessarily have to even submit sketches to him or thumbnails. Like, he'll just take whatever I give him. And he trusts me. But I'll probably still do that, because I'm trying to, when I do these things, like, approach them with, I'm learning how to do this illustration professionally too. So, you know, I'm trying to approach them exactly how I would for a paid customer as well. And I'm actually finding it really cool. Like I kind of like to tell people, I'm starting to like to tell people that high price for illustration work, because I found myself, I remember in the past, like, I would tell a lot of people I would do things, and then I'd stack up this big thing of work, and it was just, you know, doing all this stuff for nothing, or just because they're my buddy and we both kind of work with each other type of thing. But I'm starting to tell everybody. I even told this guy, I'm like, you know, the only person who gets free art from me anymore is me. You know, I don't do free art anymore. So, or, you know, I do like little trades, like the fan art trades, and sometimes I'll do an art card trade or something, but I try not to do that even too much, because, you know, I could get bogged down with so much work that has nothing to do with actually making money, you know. So I don't do artwork for free anymore, and it's kind of cool to give these people these high prices, because it's like, oh, well, you can't afford it? Cool. I mean, that's one less thing I have to do. And, you know, it so far, it's always ended on a positive note. They're like, cool, you know, I understand. You know, you're trying to, you know, we're all trying to make some money with what we're doing. So it's no big deal. I just can't afford it right now. So if we can end on a high note like that, and I don't have to do the work because I'm not getting paid for it, then cool. I'm cool with that. You know, less stuff I have to do. If I do get paid for it, that's even better. Because, you know, I then do have to do the work, but I don't mind. It's like I usually get stuff done quicker because when the money is there, because that motivation is there, you know. As much as that sounds maybe crass, money is a motivator. It does. Like, I do find myself getting more progress on stuff I'm getting paid for than stuff like little trades and stuff. Like, I have some fan art trades I gotta do and send out and stuff. In fact, I told Ryan Wheaton I'd send out the piece I did for him, because he's already sent his to me and stuff this week, and I still haven't gotten to it, but I'll try to do that this weekend. So, yeah, definitely be looking for that in the mail, Ryan. but yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's an example of, like, you know, I can't help it. The stuff I get paid for sometimes is a little more motivating. it's mostly because I have such a need for the money, you know. If I didn't have a need for the money so much, it wouldn't be that way, really. But it's pretty daunting at this point, this financial situation. So yeah, I'm trying not to let that pressure dictate what I'm doing, though, and dictate my attitude. Trying to stay optimistic. And I usually can. I usually can push forward, continue to be optimistic. For some reason, I think it's just because I need some time off. Haven't had, you know, time off in a while. I think I got to a point where I was a little overwhelmed, and it's grating on me. So this week I think is going to be a good break, and hopefully I can come out of it refreshed with some new goals and start getting back to work on some things and stuff. So that is where I think I will end it. And yeah, man. Really appreciate you guys listening. It's really cool that, you know, people look forward to listening. I mean, every time I post one, it's like I hear people say, "Oh, that's awesome. You know, I needed something to listen to today, you know, while I was drawing or whatever. You know, I needed a new podcast." People get excited about it. That's so awesome. So thank you so much again, as I always say, for listening. I really do appreciate it. I can't say it enough. And every time I say it, I do feel that appreciation. You know, I really do appreciate that. So thank you. And, you know, come by the site, plexhop.com, if you want to see that Pandia comic. Like I said, this week that you're hearing this, I will be probably putting a lot of updates because, as I said before, I can't help but publish things right after I create them. So I'm going to try to leave some things in the hopper and publish it a little more correctly, especially with the music stuff. I'm sure I'll put some updates, but I'll try not to update everything that I do. So yeah, you're going to see some activity, social networks, sketches, whatever, some things this week. And yeah, that's about it, man. Thank you for listening again, and we shall talk next week on the Escape Artist Podcast. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.